Welcome to the Troy Thompson Leadership Podcast. This is your host, Troy Thompson. I'm so glad you tuned in today. Listen, it is my greatest passion to empower leaders to create a more hopeful culture and to lead with passion and relevancy for their generation. I trust that today's podcast will encourage you, will equip you, and will empower you as you go out and create a vibrant culture that perpetuates hope and growth wherever you are. Let's tune in.
Well, happy Mother's Day one more time to all the mothers. Come on, give it up to all the moms in the house. We celebrate you today, and the word I'll bring forth in a few minutes will definitely be an attempt to honor you as much as you deserve to be honored. I want to say a special Mother's Day to my mom. She's right there. Hi, Mom. Happy Mother's Day. And to my wife, who is mothering one more time a five-month-old. So we went through some training to be foster parents, and we were, so if you see my wife with a child, because it's a different color, I don't want there to be any confusion. She don't understand fully what's happening here. But there are strange sounds coming out of our house one more time. I thought I put that chapter to rest. Eddie, I thought the bottle phase and the crying and the pooping and I thought that was done. And it's just a really weird thing to go back to that when you put, you know, that was like, Precious was the last one. And so, you know, you go into that again and it's all very bizarre. You don't sleep much. And it's really weird. So happy Mother's Day to my wife, who's pulling mom duty one more time. Today, I want to share with you one more time. How about we do that later? Let's receive this morning's tithe and offering. Are you prepared to do that this morning? Amen. To those watching online, there are many ways to give today. There's envelopes there in front of you. You can go to our... we have an app. If you don't have the app, how many have the app, the Church on the North Coast app? The rest of you, go now, get the app. You know, why didn't you have it? It's free. It doesn't even cost you anything. It's free. So download the app, and you can give through our app. And if you're watching online, you can give online as well. You know, we have a very large population of online viewers. And what I want to encourage you to do if you're watching us online is don't forget to give. We need you to give here. If you're being fed here, It's only fair that you pay for the meal, amen? You know, don't have me serving you sandwiches and you walking out the door and not paying for your meal. But we thank you for all of your faithful giving. I was thinking of this today as I was driving in. The Bible refers to the church as the bride of Christ. You're familiar with that term, which is really weird for men, that we would be referred to as a bride. Well, maybe not so much in the culture today, but you know, for me, it's a little bit weird. But to be referred to as a bride, to be referred to as a woman, and God, you know, I never stop talking to God. Can I say that? A lot of people designate time for prayer, and I think that a bit strange, to be honest, because I never stop talking to Him. I need Him to talk to me all day, and so I'm talking to Him today, and He starts talking back. He says, Troy, I referred to you as a bride because I want you to never forget that you have to keep sowing and conceiving. You have to keep birthing children. You have to keep growing, Troy. You can't stop. So that's why I called you a bride, because you're a woman, and it's fitting that it's Mother's Day, and God would say, you have to grow. You have to increase the kingdom. You can't leave it as you found it. You come into the kingdom, God demands, and God expects you to sow, and He expects there to be growth in our lives. He expects there to be maturation. He expects there to be duplication, right? He expects us to go out and make disciples of throughout all the world, and He expects us to teach them. He expects us to raise these children. And so I just think it's fitting on Mother's Day that we would sow a seed, that we would give, because God says, listen, I need my kingdom to increase. The way it increases is by your sowing. You're sowing your finances. You're sowing your time, your talent, your treasure. It's the way the kingdom increases. I really feel like God is doing something specific in our region. I attended these meetings. I get around a certain group of people. And they start talking about dreams. They start talking about dreams, and they began to speak of a time in our nation. I was born in the time, but I never saw what they were speaking of. They began to talk about, and here's how I know it's real, what they're speaking of. I know it's real because when the Spirit is spoken, your baby leaps. When Mary walked into Elizabeth, there was a leaping. And when I get around these types of people, there's a leaping in my spirit of what was conceived many, many years ago when I first came into the ministry. This group of people I hang around with, they talk a certain way. They're always talking about dreams and how God's speaking. And they're always bringing up prophecies. What God said long, long time ago. They're always talking that way. And when they talk that way, I get all excited. My spirit comes alive. I can't sit still. I do the rocking thing. I start rocking in my chair. I go, oh, I get all fidgety. I stand up. I start walking. You know, I can't stand still while I preach. I just move. Because when the Spirit comes on me, I just go, oh, man, this is it. This is something right here. This is truth. This is Spirit and truth, what they're talking about here. And they begin to talk about a time in the earth in the late 60s and the early 70s. They said, I remember a time when God moved so powerfully out west that it stretched all through the country. It was called the Jesus Movement. How many are here remember the Jesus Movement? And that, you know, that sounds a little weird, the Jesus Movement. And they began to talk about it. He said, these hippies, they were on a pilgrimage to find Jesus. And they said it started there and out west, and it moved through the country, and it was a powerful movement, such a powerful movement that it lasted about 10 years, and it went into the early 80s, and then it fizzled out in the early 80s. And then I began to think about how powerful that move of God must have been. I mean, think about it. How undeniable. How it couldn't have been orchestrated with the networkings of churches. How it had to be the finger of God. How people, perfect strangers, would meet one another and they'd fall down on their knees, and the whole nation was swept up into this movement where everybody sensed the power and the presence of Jesus when it came into a place or a region. They felt it. And so the other day I drove out to Finney's grave, and I said, I leaned up against this grave there, and I said, you know, when Elijah died, when Elijah went on to glory, he threw his mantle down. I said, maybe his mantle's laying around here somewhere, because I feel like revival's inside of me. I feel like, God, there's a movement that's waiting to break out. And God, if it's around here somewhere, I'll take it. I'll pick up what he left. I'll have a little bit of that if it's here anywhere. And I just laid there and said, God, if this mantle be here, give it to me. I'll foster it. I'll take care of it. I feel a revival. About 16 years ago, I met a man down in Lakeland, Florida, because I felt revival. I felt it and I chased it. I told you I was born in the midst of it, but I never seen it. I live in the midst of famine. And if you're from that, that Jesus movement, here's what I need you to do. I need you to keep talking about it. Dave, where are you so far back there for? You're too far back. Okay. I need you to keep talking about it. Because every time you talk about it, it reminds me of what I'm looking for. Because I don't know what it looks like. I've seen glimpses of it. I've seen shadows of it. But I've never seen the reality of it, which you guys are talking about when you begin to talk about God moving so powerfully that this move of God moves through the earth. And then the music we listen to today is a product of that. Hillsong we pump today is a product of that. Did you know that, young people? I didn't know that. They told me that the Hillsong that we listen to, the songs that are being sung today, they lasted so long from a movement of God on the earth that we're still singing the songs of a revival that broke out some 40 years ago, and we're still singing the songs of that revival. Could you imagine it? Can you imagine what God wants to do again? He spoke this word to me 15, 16 years ago. I went down there searching for it because I was born in it, and I feel like the DNA of it's in me, but I keep looking for it because I live in the midst of famine. Oh God, I gotta have it. It's the one thing that quickens me. It's the one thing that makes me wake up. And this man finds me out in the middle of nowhere, and he says to me, he said, I see 30,000 in you, and you're like jalapenos to the ministry. Yeah, I said, hey, yes, that's it, that's it. And for 15 years, I've been chasing that prophetic word. For 15 years, I put on my shoes every morning and say, maybe it's today. And they said this movement started in a time when TVs had rabbit ears. They said this movement started in a time when we knew nothing about smartphones. They said this movement started in a time when the World Wide Web wasn't even thought of yet. Can you imagine a time? That's how it's undeniable. That's how you know it's true. If God did it when there couldn't have been a fabrication of man. There couldn't have been the manipulation of man. There was barely a TV. I remember watching the Browns in the early 80s. Got to put aluminum foil on the things and bang on the side of the TV. And then they lost a lot. The drive, the fumble, the blah, blah, blah. Can you believe it? Think about it. God moves so powerfully, so undeniably. You can't deny it. You can sit here if you want to and say, that never happened. How in the world? How in the world did that take place in the time in which it did? By nothing but the Spirit of the living God upon a people that would say, I must have Jesus. Upon a people would say, I embrace this movement. I want to see this happen. I want to see the kingdoms of this world become the kingdom of our God and of His Christ. I want to see it happen in my time. I believe God wants to do something in the earth. There's this word. I'll tell you, I hang around these people. I'm sorry, I'm going to take my time. Is that okay? It's Mother's Day. Yeah. If you guys are, all the moms good? Raise your hand. You good with this? Okay. I'm good, guys. They said there was this prophetic word spoken about a time that would come, about a third great awakening that would come. Maybe you heard it. I don't know. I didn't hear it. When I heard it, it bore witness with my spirit. It made me come alive again. The baby of revival leapt in my spirit one more time. I said, oh God, yes, I believe that's true. Bob Jones was his name. No disrespect to Bob Jones. I don't know who Bob Jones is. Like I said, I didn't know Jesus in that time. I didn't know who Bob Jones is. But whatever Bob Jones spoke, with the word he spoke, it's truth. And this is what he spoke. While in a conference in Cincinnati, Ohio. Do you not believe that Ohio is the heartbeat of our nation? It is the heartbeat of our nation. If a third great awakening is to happen, it will happen because of Ohio. Bob Jones, he had a vision of a great man who in the past had fallen asleep, and while he was lying on his back half covered in dirt, and his name was Gulliver. Little people from a place of little input had completely tied him down, and he was waking up from being asleep for the past 38 years since the last move of God. You do the math, it puts us right here, right now. Right here, right now. You do the math. We can call him Gulliver, the body of Christ. Bob saw that the head of this very large man was in a place called Cleveland, Ohio. In a place called Jacob's Field. This was spoken some 12 years ago. The next thing Bob saw was a large center pole of a tent coming out of Columbus, Ohio. This was the heart of Ohio. Powerful signs and wonders, he said, will come out of that, out of Columbus, greater than we've ever seen before, that will look like a canopy over the region. Explosions of miracles and healings will be the hallmark of Columbus. Cincinnati was the place of reproduction. Reproducing of the kingdom would be evidenced there in priestly and kingly anointings. The left hand of this large man was in Philadelphia, which had teaching and great love in it. The right hand was extended into Indianapolis, Indiana. It began to flex, and the cords that were around it to keep it tied down were beginning to snap off like rubber bands. The left foot was in Charlotte, North Carolina, and there was a great television there. So they televised the gospel all around the world. The right foot was in Nashville, Tennessee, where great faith is beginning to rise up. This great man finally began to get up, breaking off all restraint and planting both of his feet in Atlanta, Georgia. Bob said, God means to take Ohio first, then move over to the east, and finally to move over into Indianapolis, into Illinois, crossing over into the east, and finally standing completely upright in Atlanta. The Lord told Bob to take Atlanta would mean to capture the whole earth, but it must start in Ohio. And there have been prophetic words uttered that says that Gulliver's head is beginning to rise off of the dirt. Gulliver's head being placed in Cleveland. The first thing you do in the morning, the first thing that lifts in the morning when you rise from slumber is you lift your head from your pillow. And I believe that God wants to start a third great awakening. I believe there is a movement that will precede it. We'll talk about that in a moment. But I want to caution us, and this is for the offering, I guess, yeah. I want to caution us. Most of the time, when God is preparing to awaken a region, a nation, the enemy will bring upon the bride a spirit of slumber. He'll try to create a sleepiness in the bride to cause her to miss her reviving. He'll cause it. You can see it. It takes place in the scriptures. You can see it with Peter when Jesus was about to go. The most critical time of Jesus's ministry was about to take place. And Peter's place in this movement that Jesus was about to start. Peter was there with a couple of the fellas, and he comes to him and he says, can you stay awake with me? Don't sleep on your assignment. Don't sleep on what I'm trying to do in the earth right now. I'm looking to partner with you. But I need you to stay awake with me. And if you'll stay awake with me, you'll be a part of the greatest love story that the earth has ever known. You'll be a part of something so miraculous that when the story is told, people will fall down on their knees. There'll be moves of God throughout the earth because of this story. And Peter, you're a part of it. Don't sleep on it, Peter. And you know the story. He comes back three times. Wow. Can you just stay awake? Stop sleeping on me, Jesus. Peter. Stop sleeping on me. I just want to caution us today. Stop sleeping on him. Stop sleeping on your potential. Stop sleeping on the Spirit of the Lord that's inside of you. Wake up. Wake up to the potential of the seed, of the power, of the authority, of being a born again child of God. Wake up to the reality of it and begin to walk in the power and the authority of it. This is your hour, Cleveland, Lorraine. This is your hour. So when we sow, we're sowing to see a move of God. Something so powerful that you can't say it was fabricated by man. It was manipulated by man. Wouldn't you, don't you want to see something happen in the earth that the naysayers and the haters can't look at and say, oh, that happened because of this or that, something they can't explain away. I mean, something where hospitals are vacated, where schools are shut down because there's such a massive revival that begins to take place with our young people. Wouldn't you like to see it take place in our time? I believe it can take place. I believe we're this close to it. All we have to do is stay awake and keep sowing. Keep sowing. Give your life away. Be a part of the Red Cord Project. Put a rock somewhere. Sow a spring seed. Be a part of it. Just don't sleep on it. Stay awake. Amen. Amen. Let's hold up your offering before the Lord and we'll pray for it. That was a long way to go. I don't know. Let's pray for it. Hey, what I want to encourage you to do as you're giving, I want you to write what you're believing for. Come on, write on it. Write on it. Everyone take an envelope. I don't care if you're giving a quarter, lint, a button, a shoelace, give something, but write on it. Write on it. Don't ever sow something without you guys are terrible. Yes, write on it something. My kids are messing with me. Write on it something. I mean, believe for something miraculous. Amen. Believe. Believe that leukemia would be gone in Jesus' name, right? But believe with me, I'll believe with you. You believe with me that a young boy named Cameron will live and not die. Write his name down. I mean, write the name of somebody you know in the hospital, somebody you know grieving today, somebody you know heavy-hearted today. Write it down and let's believe for something and let's watch it happen. I prayed 3 times for something very specific in one of my children's lives, and every week I see it happen over and over and over again. The prayers of the righteous availeth much, I tell you. If we lift our voices to the heaven, God said, I'll hear it. My word that goes forth will not return void if you just let it go. And so we write it down today as we sow a seed expecting something to return to us by the power of God. Let's pray for it. Father, we thank you. If you're watching online, do that as well. We pray for it today. We declare, God, that as we sow this seed, we sow with expectation. We declare that the kingdom would come into the life, into the situation that we placed on this envelope today. We send it to you today. We sow it with expectation, with faith. With faith, it's impossible to please you without it. So God, we sow faith today. We declare it in Jesus' name. Let the power of heaven come and invade this situation. By the power of heaven, God, let your word go forth now with authority in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I want to encourage you as we keep moving forward here to be a part of the Red Rock campaign of the Red Cord Project. Is everyone familiar with the Red Cord Project? Raise your hand all over if you're familiar with that. Well, if you're not, what I want you to do is go home, paint a rock red. Paint a rock red. Then with white letters, put on it, hashtag Red Cord. Put on it, God loves you, don't give up. On the back, pick up a sticker on the way out, and everything's on there, and just paste that sticker on there, and take that rock and place it somewhere strategic in this city. Wouldn't it be amazing to see a movement start where people all over the city begin to notice these red rocks? And wouldn't it be amazing that somebody would pick up a rock and that God would use that rock to encourage them on that day to not give up, to trust in God, to put their hope in the living God? Wouldn't it be amazing to do that? Next week, we're going to receive a spring seed offering. I want to challenge you to be a part of spring seed next week. Take something, give financially to the kingdom, but sow it with expectation. And when you do, we're going to give you a bag of red seeds, flowers, red flower seeds. And you're going to take those flowers and you're going to take those seeds. You're going to take them home or throw them in your neighbor's yard because they need red flowers. They need the kingdom of God to manifest, right? Throw them over there. Put them in the park. But wouldn't it be amazing as we drive down the road in a couple of months to see red flowers, seas of red flowers. And then every year about this time, they would begin to come out of the earth. The spoken prophetic word that we sowed on that day on March 21st. I remember when I sowed it. I remember what God did. That's that flower right there. That bushel of flowers right there just reminds me of the faithfulness of God. Would you be a part of that next week, March 21st. Let's take our Bibles. Let's go to Esther. Go to Esther. You guys awake? Okay, I was just making sure. I'm up here. I feel like Kevin Love. I'm up here dropping dimes. I shouldn't talk like that, should I? You see that? No, you stop. Esther. You can stick your finger in Esther 2. We'll stay there. We'll come to it in a minute. Esther 2, 5 to 7. Let's read. In Shushan the citadel, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite. Pay attention. A Benjamite. Kish had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captives who had been captured by Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And Mordecai had brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. The young woman was lovely and beautiful. When her father and mother died, Mordecai took her as his own daughter. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, that when your word goes forth, it brings encouragement, strength and hope, love and power. We thank you that as your word enters our hearts this morning, that light illuminates darkness. God, we thank you that as it goes forth, we see manifestation. We thank you that faith would be born in our hearts today, for those watching, for those here, for those listening. We thank you, God, that as your word goes into our spirits, it quickens us. It causes sickness and disease to fall down and surrender to the majesty and the might of Christ. We bless you. We love you. We thank you for the word that is so powerful, most powerful force available to us today. More powerful than any drug, more powerful than any surgeon's knife, more powerful than any weapon the earth could ever produce. Your word is so powerful. Let it unfold. Let it do its work in our life. Let it transform our homes. Let it transform our cities. Let it transform our nation. Let it transform the nations of the world as it enters our heart, this place right here. We prepare our soil, the soil of our heart, to receive the truth of your word and do its work in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I believe there's a movement. I spoke of it earlier. There's a movement taking place in the earth by divine orchestration. Those recognizing Kairos interactions can feel the impending shaking about to take place. Isaiah says, so shall my word be when it goes forth. It won't return void. Another prophet declared, believe in the Lord your God and you shall be established. Believe in his prophets and you shall prosper. The words of the gospel declare, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. What is a prophet's reward but the manifestation of the word spoken? You're going to have to follow me today. I believe God wants to do something so powerful in our nation that he wants to manifest words spoken that would be conceived in the Esthers of our day. The story of Esther is so powerful. It speaks to every woman that's here today. It tells us, it speaks of a time of deliverance and revival in the midst of oppression and bondage. While in captivity, Esther found the secret place of a king and was able to rescue and deliver a nation from the royal courts while in oppression and tyranny, while in exile from her homeland. If there's ever a message that speaks to mothers today, that speaks to feminism today, to speaks to feminists today, who would attempt to hijack womanhood of our day culturally, Esther reminds us of the power and the authority of every woman alive today. how through her womanhood, she can arrest the heart of a king in the midst of oppression. Woo! And lead an entire nation out of bondage. Rescue her children from murder. Esther. Hadassah. You see, with every single promise born, there is a woman full of faith to fight to bring it to birth. With every barren pronouncement, there is a true feminist, a woman to trust God for her royal rights in her kingdom. You search the scriptures and you'll see. Every promised child ever spoken. Every promised child ever believed for. Every promise ever believed for. Came out of a barren womb. An impossible situation. Came out of Haman's tyranny. That a woman would believe. That she could by the favor of the king. Overcome every obstacle. And here we have Esther. Every woman, could I have you stand with me, please? Every woman. I don't care what age you are, every woman. If you're a mother or you're not a mother, I just want to pronounce over you today, even if you haven't born children, you can't bear children, you are the mother of a nation. I want to thank you today. I want to thank every woman here today. Thank you for what you're doing in our nation, in our homes, in our schools. Thank you for standing. Thank you for preserving promised seeds over generations. Thank you for holding on to hope when there appeared to be none. Thank you for restless nights when babies were crying and frustration was there, but you held on still. Thank you for holding on to the promise and believing the best, no matter what it presented, no matter what the children looked like, you still saw the best in them. Thank you for holding on to the promises of God to see the fruition of words spoken a long time ago. Thank you, because I stand here because a woman prayed. I stand here. Every man that's sitting next to a woman, you're here because a woman prayed, because a woman brought you prophetically into this world and she believed for the promises of God. Thank you for the faith that you hold so strong in your womb. Thank you for the faith. Thank you for the prayers that you pray when they ascend into the heavens, they come down with power and authority. Thank you so much for holding on to faith so powerfully over the generations. Every man in this room, give them a great big hand. Thank you. I declare today that the spirit of Esther would come upon every one of you. I declare today that the power of Esther, that the faith of Esther would be born inside of your womb, no matter what age you are, that from this day forward, you would find yourself in the royal courts of a king named Jesus, and you would bring deliverance and you would bring revival to nations who are dying. I declare it in Jesus' name today. Thank you. You can be seated. Thank you. You can be seated. God is awakening the spirit of Esther to foster a movement of deliverance and revival that has never been seen before in our time. This is a time of revealing. This is a time of replacing. This is a time where Vashti is being put away. Now, when I speak of Esther today, Vashti is being put away. When I speak of Esther today, I'm speaking of her in a few different ways here. First of all, it's every woman, every mother in here. And then secondly, Esther represents symbolically the church. She's a type of church that we speak of here. So when I speak of Esther, men, don't tune out. I'll get to you. You're a part of this story. Don't think this isn't for you. But Vashti was put away. And I feel prophetically that God is putting away any bride that won't bring him honor.
any self-seeking, haughty bride, that he's emerging a new bride named Esther, who will adorn herself with the oil and the myrrh and the perfume, because he's preparing a church. He's preparing a bride that's about to bring deliverance to a nation. The faith of a mom is probably the most impressionable, isn't it? I mean, I did a funeral for the Patterson family a week or so ago, and as I did that funeral, I looked around the room and I could tell that the faith of that woman was in every one of her children. She was the foundation of faith in her family. Just like all of us here today, you look at mom and you'll know the faith. You heard mom pray. You heard mom tell you, you know, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. How's it go? And then don't read your Bible. You forget you and you'll shrink. That she says it all the time. We see a sunset, she'll say this. No matter how many times you see the sunset. Like we saw yesterday. She'll see a sunset, she'll say, heaven and earth, and the children in the back seat will declare. They'll out of their mouth will say, declaring his glory. The faith of mom is powerful. Heaven and earth. No matter where we're at, we can be in Florida, we can be in Hawaii, I'd love to be in Hawaii again. Jesus, please, I think that was a prophetic utterance. It slipped out of my mouth. I'm a mess, ain't I? That ain't right. No matter where we're at, the faith of that mom is in those children. And when she says heaven and earth, they say declaring God's glory. Esther is the true feminist of her day. You know, feminism is the advocacy of women's rights. Esther defined what it looks like in truth. The true feminist movement that defines the value of Esther's. Esther knew where authority was born. Esther knew her rights and authority were found in a king's courts. God is revealing the authority of those spiritual rights afforded to her today. Powers and principalities are being destroyed as the true feminist movement awakens the church. Who better to cry out for revival for her children than mothers? Some have said that the Jesus movement resulted from mothers praying because of the drugs of the 60s. And birthed out of that movement was the Jesus movement. Birthed out of their prayers was the Jesus movement. Bringing more than revival, this movement of Esther, this movement. It brings more than revival. It does more than just revive us. It rescues us. You see, we need a movement of Esther in our day-to-day more than any time before on the planet. Because there is such hopelessness. There's a hijacking of morality and truth. Hamans have taken the signet ring and they are lying about what it means to tell the truth. And they're passing decrees and they're passing laws that are against the morality of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But it is up to Esther to undo the works of Haman in her day. This movement of Esther will bring deliverance. Deliverance to children on heroin. Deliverance to children in drug-infested communities, falling into the trap of poverty. Falling into a cycle of poverty. This movement of Esther on the face of the earth will be the deliverance of her children. The scripture declares in Jeremiah that Rachel refused to be comforted over what was happening to her children. And I tell you, when the women of our nation refuse to be comforted over the senseless murder of their children, over the senseless drug addiction of their children, when Esther arises, suddenly there will emerge from the throne room of God deliverance and revival that we've never seen before. Our children, can you see a day with me? Close your eyes with me and see it. See a day where heroin addicts, where you know Ohio is the number one state for heroin addiction. Can you see it with me? Can you see it with me? As your prayers ascend, suddenly heroin addicts throw it down. They fall on their knees and they say, they surrender their hearts to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. See it with me. See it in your hearts with me and begin to cry out in the courts of our God for it. Mothers are beginning to cry out for the atrocities of their children. And you know our children will not understand their authority, their destiny, or their purpose until the church, Esther, operates in her full spiritual legacy and authority. Become an advocate of the rights bestowed upon the bride, the queen. Become an advocate. Revival and deliverance is preceded by preparation, though. Esther knew this. Esther knew if she was to deliver her people, she would have to prepare herself. She did something. The scripture in Esther 2:12 says, each young woman's turn came to go into the king. After she had completed 12 months of preparation, according to the regulations of the women, for thus were the days of the of their preparation apportioned. 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 months with perfumes and preparations for beautifying women. Oil, that word there is shemen. It's used by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 10:27. And it says, it shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the shemen, because of the oil. You see, Esther went into and she practiced the art of soaking. She practiced the art of laying herself in the oil and allowing the oil to penetrate her deeply and to go down into her skin, to go down beneath what's on the surface, to go deep into her spirit. And until, you know, see, you want to see destruction undone. You want to see heroin addiction broken. There must be and return to the church a time of soaking, a time of preparation where we set ourselves apart for the shemen of God, for the oil of God, because there's a lot of yokes. There's a lot of people who come to church yoked up. There's a lot of people walking around in our families yoked with these yokes of addiction, with these yokes of pornography, with these yokes of pride, with these yokes around them. And it's hard for them to get around. They're labored and heavy. They can't get free from it. But when Esther arises and she goes into the secret chamber and she lays herself in a tub of oil into the presence of her king and she allows the oil to get on the shemen of God, it says the prophet declared when she puts herself in that place, suddenly yokes are broken. The oil destroys the yoke. The oil of Christ will destroy every yoke that is facing our generations today if we would arise like Esther, set ourselves apart and begin to pray and ask the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the only one, the Messiah. Say, let your oil deeply penetrate me. Come down into my skin. Go down into my pores and let it become such a part of me that no yoke can stay on me. And wherever I go, yokes are destroyed. Wherever I tread oil, there is a trail of oil that follows me wherever I go, because I've been with the only one and no yoke can stay there. No addiction can stay there. No bondage can stay there. No Haman can keep them there. There is nothing that can undo what God has done in my life. If we would find an oily place like Esther, we would begin to see the yokes breaking over our children. God is releasing the oil to remove the burden. God is releasing the oil. Come on, lift your hands all over. Say, God, release the oil. God, release the oil. God, release the oil over my children. Release it over my city. Release it over my family. Release it over my nation. God, release the oil. It says she soaked in myrrh. The scent of myrrh. Her name actually means myrtle. The myrtle tree spoken of in Zechariah 1:8. It was a tree who bore flowers that were white with red, and they left a perfume. They left a perfume. It's the myrrh. Whenever you would go into the chambers of a king, you would immediately pick up on the scent of this myrrh. Because kings of her day let their chambers be full of the myrtle tree's scent. And Esther knew. She was made aware of this, and she says, if I am to find favor with the king, then I must smell like royalty. So she goes and she soaks herself in the myrrh. Because myrrh is the scent of royalty. There is a scripture that begins to describe the scent of Christ, the fragrance of Christ, the fragrance of myrrh, because when he comes, there is a scent. I was at the hospital the other day praying for somebody, and you take the anointing oil with you, and you take it, and when you open the oil, they said when she broke the alabaster box of oil, the fragrance of that oil filled the room, and suddenly everyone in the room was made aware that there was royalty present. And when I opened that oil vase, I opened it up and I put it there, and suddenly the fragrance of royalty fills the room. The Bible says that when the prayers of the righteous, they ascend, there is a fragrance that goes up that smells like the children of kings. When children of kings allow the scent of the royal one to go free, suddenly he releases deliverance. When we, as Esthers, can find this place where his scent is released, we will capture the authority of his royal throne. I remember one time being in a prayer meeting. No oil present, but the oil, the fragrance of oil filling the room. You knew Jesus was there. You knew, because the scriptures declare Christ has a fragrance. He has a fragrance. And if we can find the place where his fragrance is released, we will find favor with our King. We will find favor with him, and we can come to him and extend the scepter, and he will declare to us, what is it you desire? What is it you ask for? All of my kingdom is yours. What is it you desire? But we must find this place of prayer where the scent of heaven is released, and we walk out of that place smelling like myrrh. Esther, if you'll pray, Esther, if you'll prepare yourself, you'll walk with the oil and you'll smell like royalty. The anointing and the myrrh are bestowed upon those who allow themselves to soak and to pray. And they come out of the presence oily and smelly. I pray today that there be a smell upon you. I pray when you leave here today, that you smell like royalty. That you smell as if you've been with the King of all glory. You say, that's weird. I don't know what it is. I just know that if we get into his courts, if we can get into his chamber room, then suddenly something would be transferred to us. And it is what's needed. It is what's needed to undo the oppression of our time. Because decrees of signet rings can only be broken by the prayer of Esther. We need you, Esther, in the inner courts. We need you, church, to be in the inner courts. Enough. Enough. Do you feel the emergency sirens going off in your spirit?
Yes.
Do you feel them? Enough. This stuff is the real deal. Your assignment has consequences. Your life, it means something, destiny and purpose to bring heaven to the earth. Psalms 92:13, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. We need strategic placement that comes from the inner courts. Civil decrees have been issued by signet rings of gluttonous egomaniacs who possess the spirit of Amalek, their descendants, the flesh, and they must be undone by the spirit of Esther. You know the story. You know the story? How Haman meant to kill the lineage of not just Mordecai, but Mordecai's entire family and Mordecai's entire heritage to wipe them out. And so he hijacked the signet ring of a king, and he used it to bring lies and blasphemy, and he declared it from a king's position. I declare to you today that there are many signet rings being hijacked in the name of morality and truth, and they're being used to pass unjust laws and immoral laws, blasphemous, anti-Christ laws in our nation. They're being used. I sat in a meeting the other day with Senator Sherrod Brown, and as I'm sitting there, I'm thinking to myself, no authority has been given to you except by my king. I didn't say it. I didn't say it, but my face said it. And I've been told my face says a lot. And so I just sat there and looked at him. Nah, man, nah, bruh. No authority. No authority. You only sit in this position. And some trust in horses, others in chariots. I trust in the Lord. I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican. I'm done with that nonsense. I'm done with that foolishness. I serve a king. I spend time in the royal courts of a king. And I have full authority to wear the signet ring of said king, to undo the unjust laws and the civic corruption by gluttonous Amaleks of my day. Powers and principalities will fall by the signet ring of a true child of God. No matter what you pass, no weapon formed against my people shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up in defiance to the word of God shall be shown to be in the wrong. I wear the signet ring. I am a son of the Most High God. I smell like royalty and I'm oily all over. You can't pass laws against my people. Huh? You can't pass laws against my people. Roe versus Wade is about to be broken in Jesus' name. Because the spirit of Esther is rising up in our day that says enough, enough left, enough right. It's time for those who reside in the inner courts of the king who say, I don't lay claim to that nor that. I lay claim to the King of Kings. That's all I lay claim to. I'll manipulate this. I'll attend every meeting you want me to, Jack. I sit in that room, and I you know what I do when I'm in that room? Mostly, I sit there under the power of heaven. Just a lot of times, I shut that book. It's a yawn, you know. I shut that book. While I'm there, I'm undoing unjust decrees and civic corruption. You don't fancy me. You don't allure me with your smooth talk. I got something in my back pocket, in my heart, that's a revealer of truth. I look at every word you say through the truth of God's word. And when it comes forth and it don't smell like truth, look like truth. You know, we got a saying in our household. If it walks like a duck and clucks like a duck, don't you be confused. That's a duck. And so when words are spoken, I just look at it and go, that. So I just sit there with the signet ring of God and undo every unjust word and every corrupt pronouncement that comes out. But Esther must come forward. She must come forward to undo the civic decrees issued by signet rings. There are too many Hamans running around unchecked. Zechariah 4:6, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. Psalm 27, some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we remember the name of the Lord our God. What's facing you today? What civil decree has been rendered by imposters posing as authorities with pretend signet ring? I ask you today, what are you facing? Get into the inner courts of the king. Request his presence. Request his presence. Lastly, Mordecai's, you must rise. Mordecai's, you must rise. Mordecai, you better stand at the gates. It's time for you, Mordecai, to take your position at the gates of the city. Men, you got one job. You got one job, man. And that is to sit at the gate of the city and make sure the queen knows her pedigree. Make sure she knows who she is. Don't never let her forget she's a queen. Don't ever let dishonor come upon the women of our nation. Don't ever let the culture come into your house and convince your queen that she has to behave like that to get honor like that, or to be desired like that. Don't ever let it. Mordecai, it's time for you to stand at the gates and come against every false word that's being pronounced over Esther. Mordecai told them in Esther 4:13, our closing, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain silent, Esther, look at what Mordecai does. Esther, if you forget who you are, if you start thinking like they think, if you start living like they live, you start dressing like they dress, you start talking like they talk. Esther, if you start doing that, don't you think that you're going to escape? Let me remind you of what your real name is. Esther is the name they gave you. Your mama and daddy called you Hadassah. Your name is Hadassah. Hadassah. You were born of the Benjamites. You come from a mother who was passing away. And as she was passing away, she said one thing, but your daddy stood up and pronounced another. Or Rachel says, Benoni. Jacob stood up and said, his name will be called Benjamin, son of my right hand. Mordecai, can I get every man to stand? Every man to stand. You are Mordecai. I announce over you the spirit of Mordecai. I declare over you the boldness and the faith of Mordecai. I declare your mission and your assignment over your queen is to never let her forget, never let her be disavowed from the truth of her lineage. She is Hadassah. Your one mission, your one assignment is to protect and preserve the spirit of Esther. Your one mission, your one assignment is to stand valiantly in this day today and declare over Esther, the church of the living God, to protect her, to cover her, to declare the word of God, to pronounce what the king has declared, to ensure that your people are delivered. I declare it, men, this is your hour. Young men, this is your hour. Don't you be deceived. Don't you be confused. You got one mission, one assignment, that is to make sure the truth, the bride of Christ, walks with truth and spirit, that she never loses her identity and her value. I declare it over you in Jesus' name. You can be seated. Mordecai makes sure Esther makes sure she knows. Makes sure she never loses her confidence. Makes sure her foundations are secure. Makes sure the church, Mordecai. Men of God, make sure those doors are open on Sunday. Make sure the next generation understands what it means to live in truth. Make sure that the next generation understands what morality and where morality comes from. Make sure that they know their name is Hadassah, the hidden one. That's what her name means. Hadassah, the hidden one. And in this hour right now, God is revealing the hidden Esthers of our day. God is revealing Hadassah to our generation. And as she is revealed, there's about to be released into our children a spirit of deliverance and revival. With me, close your eyes in prayer. Lord, we pray, as we come into the inner courts with you, there would be a release of oil and myrrh bestowed upon everyone here today. I pray a release of oil and myrrh, God, that we would break every yoke by the power of God, and that the scent of Christ would be upon us, the King would be upon us, that we would find our place while soaking in your presence and attending to the throne room in prayer. God, I pray great deliverance, the spirit of deliverance, the spirit of breakthrough be upon everyone that hears today. The spirit of revival be born in our hearts right now in this moment. Birth revival. Birth deliverance. Deliverance from addiction. Deliverance, oh God, from sickness and disease. Deliverance from oppression and depression. Deliverance, God, from hatred and division. We declare, God, revival be born in our hearts. Make it our one quest to see a nation revived by the Spirit in the presence of the King of Kings. We do bless you today, Lord, and we love you. We covenant today to seek the courts of the King, to live with oil and to smell like myrrh, to walk in the identity and the responsibility of Esther, and to usher in the greatest movement of deliverance and revival the world has ever known. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Come on, give the Lord a great big hand. You stand with me today. Stand with me today. Altar ministers are coming forward. If you have any prayer requests or prayer needs today, I believe that there is an anointing here to break yokes. I believe that the fragrance of Christ is present. And if you would need prayer, we want to pray for you. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord, let me tell you, you cannot afford to walk out those doors before bowing your heart and your head before the King of Glory and asking Him to come into your heart. So that way when you leave, you will be a son and a daughter of God. And you will not only possess a kingdom, a seat in the kingdom when you die, but you will possess the kingdom of heaven while you live. And you'll have a reason to live. So if you've never done that with me, can we all bow our heads one more time? Lord, if there be any here today who have never surrendered their hearts to you, let them do it now. Let them do it now. Right now, all over this place. Simply, God, I ask you to come into my heart. I promise to live for you forever, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Make me to live tomorrow with more purpose and destiny. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. God bless you as you go. Happy Mother's Day. If you need prayer, please come this way before you go that way. Don't forget the Red Cord Project. Pick up a cord on the way out. Get a red rock out there and sow a spring seed next week. God bless you.
This is Troy Thompson. I'm so glad you took the time to listen into the podcast today. If you like what you heard, you can go to the website cnclove.org for more. You are a culture creator. Go out today and create culture. Make the world a better place, a more hopeful place. It was a pleasure being with you.